So when was your last checkup? Oh no, not you. Although that's important too, but when was your last vehicle checkup? When it comes to service, nobody knows your Chevy better than your local Chevy dealer. Go to ChevyDriveChicago.com to schedule an appointment today.
Let's talk here to Steve Dolinsky. He is a food critic. We know that. A bona fide pizza expert, an aficionado? How would you describe it, Steve?
I would say pizza experts. I mean, I eat a lot of pizza, not just in Chicago, but around the country. And I've been known to just go on pizza trips to New York or New Haven or California. And I've got another book coming out actually in the fall called The Ultimate Chicago Pizza Guide, The History of Squares and Slices in the Windy City. So that's really going to sort of seal the deal that I kind of am Chicago's pizza guy.
You are. And you're a 13-time James Beard Award winner. And, I mean, your face is in every restaurant all across the city. You've been everywhere. And I'm going to try to stay calm here while you try to describe for us or tell us why you actually believe that Illinois is number four on the list of best states for pizza. According to Food & Wine magazine, they put New Jersey number one, New York number two, Connecticut number three, and then Illinois number four. And I sent that to you and I said, this is crazy. I mean, what are they thinking? And you said, no, actually, I think they're right.
Well, I disagree with Connecticut being higher than Illinois, first of all. But I do agree with, you know, it's hard to say all of New Jersey because I haven't been to the whole state, but I will absolutely agree with them that Raza Pizza Artigianale is the best pizza I've had in the last couple of years in America. There's a reason the New York Times gave it 3 stars. I've actually been to that restaurant twice. It is an easy 10-15 minute ride on the PATH train from Lower Manhattan to get over to Jersey City. It's right across the water from Lower Manhattan. The owner is he's a savant. He's been committed to pizza for many years, but he really sort of figured out the secret sauce a couple of years ago with his dough, fermentation times, his temperature. I mean, Dan is such a crazy guy about the dough that he calculates something called friction factor, which is the heat that's generated by the mixer when you're mixing up the flour and the water. And he calculates that temperature into the final temperature of the dough and how it should rest. And he's really focused on the dough. And I think great pizza is really about the crust. Whenever you have a good pizza experience, it really goes down to the basis, which is the crust. And he's figured out a way in a wood-burning oven, by the way. This is an interesting thing. Most wood-burning ovens burn at really high, 850, 900 degrees Fahrenheit or more, and you get a very quick bake. So the pizza gets quite wet in the middle because it's almost a little underdone. But he's figured out a way to bake it a little bit lower, maybe 700 degrees to 670, 675. And he bakes it a little bit longer, about 4 minutes in the oven, and the pizza is just, it's life-changing.
Wow. Life-changing. So it's like crispy like a little bit of cheese? They do traditional toppings?
It's kind of, they call it a neo-Neapolitan. So it has that leopard spotting around the edge, that sort of soft, but it's got a crispness to it. It's not chewy like a typical Neapolitan. So there is a crispness to it. You can pick up the slices with your hands and fold them. You don't need a knife and fork. All the ingredients, Jersey cows produce the milk for his mozzarella. He makes the mozzarella in-house. Local farmers supply all the produce for him. Same with the tomatoes, I think, as well from the East Coast. He's very much focused on local. So nothing comes out of the back of a Sysco truck. And there's another place, by the way, that the article in Food & Wine mentioned, I think it was Flour & Salt, which I've heard also is phenomenal. A little bit different. I think they do a cheeseless pizza, like more of a Roman style. But I've heard that place is just as good, if not close to better, than Raza. Raza is really a special place, though. Next time anybody's in New York, it's worth a 15-minute detour to go to Raza in Jersey City. Now, I do take issue with how they talked about, they talked about Illinois, but they really just mentioned Chicago. And mm-hmm. I disagree that it's below Connecticut, because Connecticut is really just New Haven. And the New Haven is really just 4 pizzerias. Which are all the same style, essentially, and mostly coal-fired ovens. Chicago's got so much more depth than that one style in one city, I think.
Yeah, I would say that, too. I mean, when you talk about the crusts, I think you're right, whether it's thin or thick, and we're always known for their deep dish and stuff, but there's so many great thin-crust pizzas. As you pointed out, we have square pizzas. We've got traditional Italian pizzas from the old country all over the place. So many different types here, and it does often come down, I'd say you're right, to the crust, no question.
And the big problem I have with these articles, and, you know, the key is, you said, according to Food and Wine. And so according to Food and Wine, it's really according to this author who says that he's lived in Chicago in the past, you know, who knows how long and where and when. But it's kind of the same old tropes. It's the same old, he did mention Burt's and Pequod's and Lefty's, which is an offshoot on the North Shore, you know, great deep pan pizza. He mentioned Pat's and Marie's. I think Pat's has got an edge there in terms of tavern style. He mentioned Pizza Castle and Fasano's and lower, sort of on the southwest side, and Bridgeview. Vito and Nick's, of course, southwest side, you got to mention them. But then he just mentioned D'Amato's for sort of bakery-style Sicilian. Freddy's out in Cicero, which we all adore and love because their pizza's amazing. And then two in the city, Spaconopoli, which is Neapolitan, and Bonci, which is a really interesting Roman-style pizza that doesn't really exist anywhere else in the country, that came over from Rome. But the article, I mean, it completely ignored everything that's opened up in the last 12, 13 months. And that's really the crux of my next book, is about this pandemic, this third wave that's been fueled in Chicago. And they forgot to mention Millie's Pizza in the Pan, which does kind of a Burt-style deep dish. They forgot to mention Pizza Friendly Pizza, which is making the best Sicilian pizza in Chicago. They didn't mention Pizza Fried Chicken Ice Cream in Bridgeport, which is doing amazing tavern style, or Bungalow by Middlebrow in Logan Square with their great artisan, or Robert's Pizza with his great artisan in Streeterville, or Professor Pizza, which is doing a grandma style like on the East Coast, which nobody in Chicago has, or Panino's for that matter, for grandma style. So you can see I get a little upset when people come to Chicago for a couple of days, or they say, I used to live there in the 90s, and talk about pizza here when they don't actually live here.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think you're more qualified to write that article, and I'm going to tell Food and Wine that that's the case. However, I think we get the similar result, just different names.
Yeah, nobody asked me, so it's like, come on, guys.
We'd at least move up to number three, which would be great. Wait, I got to break for traffic here first, but did you say pizza fried chicken ice cream? Is that what you said?
Yes.
Is that an ice cream or a pizza?
There, you can probably guess.
Oh, okay, so it's not together. It's separate, right?
Right. They do a Sicilian, and they do a tavern style, which is as good as anywhere in the city right now. They have fried chicken from next door at Kimski, which is their sister restaurant. And then they carry pretty cool ice cream bars.
Oh, how nice is that? I had not heard of that. So those are some new suggestions for us, and that's going to be in your book. Stand by for a second, because I do want to see Steve Dolinsky, if you could give us some Cinco de Mayo suggestions, too. Back with Steve Dolinsky, food critic and author, too, we should say. You had Pizza City USA. Now, you just said the next one is coming out. What's that one called again, Steve?
The Ultimate Chicago Pizza Guide, A History of Squares and Slices in the Windy City, coming out in late September.
Mm, very nice. And don't you do pizza tours? Are those going to start up again soon?
Yes, thank you for prompting me. Yeah, Pizza City USA tours start up Memorial Day weekend on the 28th. We're going to do four tours every weekend, three walking, one by bus. The bus tour does require proof of vaccination. We're limiting our capacity for tours, but we're still going to go four locations, four different pizza styles on every tour. And it's myself and five other docents who've been trained by me. And we go all over the city, a couple different neighborhoods. A lot of fun. You learn a lot about pizza and Chicago history.
That's so cool. And you know it all. That's for sure. Hey, I want to just talk about Cinco de Mayo.
I should point out it's pizzacityusa.com. But let's talk Cinco de Mayo.
PizzaCityUSA.com. Yeah, Cinco de Mayo. I wanted to make sure we got some of your picks because you've been everywhere. And I wonder if there's some things you can recommend for us if people still want to make plans and get some even takeout or dine in and get some Cinco de Mayo food.
Yeah, I was going to just say, first of all, Cinco de Mayo, as you may know, is not a big deal in Mexico. The bigger deal is Independence Day, which is in the middle of September. It's a famous dish called chiles en nogada that's typically consumed. But Cinco de Mayo has become kind of an American beer company marketing party event. It's a very minor event on the Mexican calendar. That said, I will say, if you want to have a party at your house, there's a Chicago company called Craft House Cocktails. Charles Jolie, world championship bartender. They have a fantastic line of drinks, including a bottled margarita, a smoky margarita that I just tried, which is really good there at like Binny's, Heinen's, and Whole Foods. But if you want to go to a restaurant, here's a couple. Some in the suburbs, by the way. One is the New Rebozo in Oak Park. I've always been a fan of. Did a story on it for Channel 7 years ago. They might be BYOB, but certainly the food there is worth a trip. New Rebozo in Oak Park. In the city, Mi Tocaya and Tojeria It's at 2800 West Logan, so Logan in California. Female chef, owner, and chef, and she does a fantastic job. Diana Davila, just really interesting regional Mexican food, kind of the next level of Rick Bayless. I mean, certainly a regional approach to Mexican food, but you're not going to just find burritos and tacos there. A little bit more interesting. Meat tocaya, antojería. Rick Bayless, you can't ignore Rick Bayless. You got to go think about, you know, Frontera Grill, Topo de Bampo, Shoko. They're all back up and running. I like Five Rabanitos on 18th Street in Pilsen. They also have margaritas on the list, but the food there is fantastic. It's about 1700 West on 18th Street. And then two more in the suburbs, both in Geneva out west. El Mocajete. Mocajete is the tool you use to make, grind and make salsas. And then Bien Trucha or Truca. Bien Truca does a fantastic job with just light bites, regional sort of light Mexican food, and great cocktails. Both of those are in Geneva.
You know, I find there's such great Mexican food in the neighborhoods across Chicago, but once you get to downtown, it seems kind of sparse, to me at least. I mean, do you have like a good pick in the downtown area?
Yeah, I mean, besides Rick's, you know, three restaurants there. And people forget about it because it's been there for 30-plus years. But right. I still think Frontera and Topolo, if you haven't been, you should go. Topolo is a really special restaurant.
Best.
But you're right. Right downtown, there is not a ton of great Mexican.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. But there's plenty there for people to take advantage of. What's the best margarita that you've had? Where would you go for the best margarita, Steve Dolinsky?
But when I was in my 20s, it was El Jardín.
Oh, how about it? Because they were cheap and they went down fast and they kind of made them a little strong, as I recall. They were pretty spiked.
Yeah. No, honestly, the two that I Meat Tocaya does a fantastic job. Really, and also, again, Rick's Bar at Frontera is a great place. Because that bar, you could just go and have a margarita and some snacks and not have to do a commitment to a dinner, which I like. So the bar next to Frontera is a good call.
Yeah, because you can take in the atmosphere now that things are open again, and you know, you'd order a bite if you want to, but you don't have to. And the margaritas now are spectacular. The things they're infusing them with and doing with them, they're really reached a new level.
Yeah, but I'm a purist. I mean, really, just fresh lime, you know, a reposado tequila. You don't need a lot, you know, a little triple sec. You don't need a lot more, maybe Cointreau. The people who put the strawberries and the frozen stuff, I like them, up. Or maybe on the rocks, a little bit of salt, not too much. But I'm a purist. I really like to just taste the fresh lime and the tequila.
I like to add a little jalapeno to it. That's all. Just a little spice. I just love that. And then the salt on the rim sometimes gets a little fancy, too. I like all that. That's the stuff I've missed because I haven't made any of it on my own. So it's pretty, it'll be fun. Fun to celebrate. And it's good hearing from you, Steve. Keep us posted on stuff. And if people want to take advantage of your pizza tours or get your book, you got anything you want to tell us there?
Yeah, just pizzacityusa.com is the easiest because you'll be able to pre-order the book there. But the tours are now open. So pizzacityusa.com, come on a tour. I'm leading the first couple, the Saturday bus tours, Memorial Day weekend, I think in the first weekend of June for sure.
Awesome. Things are reopening, and that's another fun thing to take advantage of. Thanks, Steve. Enjoy the rest of your day.
And
all right,
thanks.
We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Anna.